from 1 Corinthians. Just set it down. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I'll read it to you, and if you just listen to the Word of God as it is spoken this morning. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. May God richly bless his word to our hearts. You may be seated. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Easter time, when we talk about the resurrection of Christ. And some may say that as Paul penned these words in his letter to the Corinthians, that he was suffering from a little bit of inferiority complex. Because it almost appears at the end of this portion of Scripture that he's beating up on himself. That he is looking down on himself, if you will. He's talking about himself as being the least of the apostles. He's talking about himself as being someone that's rather insignificant when it comes to the big picture. As we read this passage, Paul declares the wonders of the gospel. He talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ in all its fullness. As of first importance, he says, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. I must suggest to you this morning that if it was not according to the Scriptures, and if it was not according to God's plan, then it would be no plan at all. It would be no salvation at all. There would be no promise at all. There would be no eternal life at all, if it were not according to God's plan, and if it were not according to the Scriptures. We are coming to the conclusion of our series of messages on forgiveness. And this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about having no regrets. No regrets? Did Paul have no regrets? Almost seems in places that he did have a few regrets. I know as I look at my life and as I look over these, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but over these years, I have many regrets. I'm sure if you were to stand up this morning, you could probably say, you've got a lot of regrets, things that you wished you had done, things you would wish you have changed differently if you had to do it all over again. Many, many times I know that I'm beating myself up because I sometimes think, you know, if only you can go back and do things again and live life again. Well, I believe that as when it comes to this matter of forgiveness, God talks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his word, and he helps us to understand that forgiveness is having no regrets. It's kind of leaving it behind. And what he's really getting down to, and what I really want to talk about this morning as we come to the end of this series, is the whole idea of not only knowing God's forgiveness And not only being able to forgive others, and we talked about that the last couple of weeks, of what it means to forgive other people, but sometimes we leave ourselves out. Sometimes we don't know how to forgive ourselves. And I would suggest to you that a lot of our psychologists and counselors that have set up shop and offices all across this land, all across this country, and are making zillions of dollars because of people's emotional problems, would, if they would just pinpoint this and help people understand that they need to forgive themselves, maybe people's lives would be a lot healthier. And that's what we're really aiming at, is to be healthy. We want to be healthy as Christians. We want to be healthy physically. We want to be healthy emotionally. We want to be healthy spiritually. But I believe God wants us to be healthy as a church. That's my focus here as your interim pastor, is to help you understand what it means to be healthy as a body of believers. There are some things we need to get right, though, when it comes to having no regrets and having no having an understanding that sometimes when we do something and we mess things up and when we really make a mess of things, that the last person in the world that we forgive is ourselves. Now, I believe that one of the great celebrations that we have this morning as we celebrate around the Lord's table is coming to terms with this real important reality, that not only does God forgive us, not only can we forgive one another, not only is there's when we look at the cross, we see the vertical and the horizontal, and that God has a relationship with us and we can have a relationship with one another, but we also can have peace of heart in our own lives, in our own being, in our own hearts. We can have peace and joy knowing that all is well and that all is good because we have that relationship with God and we serve a risen Savior. Because of the resurrection and because of what Jesus did for us and because of what we're going to be reminded of in a few moments, we can know what it is to be forgiven in our own lives, in our own spirit, in our own hearts. Well, let me mention three brief things to you this morning. And again, it's three, not four, not seven, not ten, but three. Number one is this. We need to make sure that we have sought forgiveness from God and from others. If we're to have forgiveness in our own hearts, if we're to have forgiveness in our own spirit, if we're to have no regrets, if we're to have know what it is to forgive ourselves, we need to have this really nailed down. Need to know what it is to have forgiveness from God and from other people. We talked about that in week one, the first week we did this study, that God doesn't withhold his forgiveness, but he's ready to forgive, and he's willing to forgive. And when he forgives once and for all and forever. He buries our sin in the sea of his eternal forgetfulness. Now, only God can do that. Only he can do that. And remember that we learned in week one that if you want to be forgiven, you have been through the blood of Jesus Christ, been forgiven. You have through his blood. You just need to reach out and you need to accept it. You need to receive it. You need to believe it. And that would settle it. That's why the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So not only is there just this forgiveness that takes place, there is a cleansing that takes place. He forgives us, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. In the book of Jeremiah, another verse of scripture I found this week, God made a promise to his people that applies to you and to me today, and it spoke to me about where I fit in my life regarding this whole issue. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, write this down. This is what the prophet says. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. I will remember their sins no more. Only God can do that. And so if you're struggling with regret and having a hard time forgiving yourself, saying that God will never forgive me And believe me, there's lots of people in this world. There may be people right here this morning saying, because of the things that I have done in my life, because of the terrible sins I have committed in my life, that God will never forgive me. You can, let me tell you, beloved, you can take it to the bank that there is no sin that God will not forgive. He is a forgiving God. And because He loves you so much, and because He gave His Son for you, because Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead, because of your sin, because of what you've done, because of your sins of omission, your sins of commission, you can rest assured that He will remember your sin no more when you trust in Him and when you turn your life to Him. And so, you know, in essence, we need to seek forgiveness with ourselves when we seek forgiveness of others. And we talked about it, you can't be right with God and stay wrong with others. It just doesn't work that way. You can't be right with God and be wrong with others. And that leads me to the second thing I want you to see this morning. And it's this, that forgiving yourself is not optional. Okay? It's not optional. It's not a pick and choose thing. It's not something that's multiple choice. Forgiving yourself is included in the believer's forgiveness mandate. It really is. We're required as followers of Christ, yes, to forgive everybody. And that is tough sometimes. Everybody includes yourself, okay? Everybody includes yourself. It includes me. When I look at my past, I know that I, you know, one of the great things that I went through was a 12-step program. It was a spiritually based 12-step program based on a great Christian outreach. And I went through that, and I had to come to terms with that, what it meant to forgive myself, because I had a lot of junk in my life that I had to let go and let God of in a real important way. I had to know how to do that. And there are times I wonder, you know, Satan tempts me and he says, you know, have you really let go of those things? Have you really given them over to me? And, you know, I'm struggling sometimes with that. And I have to say, yes, Lord, I want to trust you that you've taken these things and that you have forgiven me and they're covered in the blood. And I've released it all to you. So there's, you know, it's amazing how the devil plants these little seeds of doubt in your mind and in your heart. It's amazing how he tempts you and he just causes you to think these things that are bad about yourself and bad about other people. I believe that in a lot of our churches today, we have people who think very negatively about themselves. They think very negatively about themselves because they don't know if God really has forgiven them or not. They don't understand as to whether they've been released from this bondage or not. They haven't really gotten the victory that's theirs through Christ, that's yours through Christ, and they really haven't experienced that. But, you know, forgiving yourself is not optional. God has called us not just to know His forgiveness, not just to experience His forgiveness with one another and to be able to forgive others and allow others to forgive you, but to forgive yourself. It's so crucial, and sometimes we miss out on the picture, and by doing that, we miss what God wants to do. We miss what He wants to accomplish in our lives and the great things that He wants to do. And so just as it is wrong to withhold forgiveness from someone from God is forgiven, it's wrong to withhold forgiveness from yourself. I don't know how clear I can be about that. C.S. Lewis wrote this, and he said, if God forgives us, we must forgive ourselves. Otherwise, it is almost like setting up ourselves as a higher tribunal than Him. God, in His mercy, has forgiven you. And if you're still beating yourself up day after day over things that you did in the past, it's time to let it go. It really is. Because you'll never experience victory. You'll never experience the power of God residing, living, and moving through you until you come to terms with that. I know from experience. I know from firsthand experience of what that really means. And here's the third thing, that the final thing I want to share with you this morning regarding this whole idea of no regrets and this whole idea of forgiving yourself. And it's this, that the process of forgiving yourself is the same as the process of forgiving others. There's really not much of a difference between forgiving other people and forgiving yourself. Now, we went through that process a couple of weeks ago, and we made it very plain as to what that really means. And in week two, we talked about the need to forgive others, and there's no question about it that God expects us to forgive one another. He expects us to do that without reservation. And we talked about some of the steps that we need to take in order to see that happen and see it through. And then we also talked about how important it is to stop talking about sin, about dragging people through the mud, about when someone has an issue or someone has asked for forgiveness, has come to you and has asked for forgiveness, or there's forgiveness that has taken place, about reminding that person over and over again how deep their sin really was, about, you know, refraining from throwing someone's face in the details of their bad behavior and every turn and every opportunity, bringing it up again. You know, that really gets me a little upset when I hear that happening sometimes. And I don't think that's what God wants either. That's not healthy. It's not healthy for any relationship. It's not healthy for our own relationship with God. The Apostle Paul said this, and this is where we need to focus. And we read this verse this morning in the adult Sunday school class in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, we're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I believe forgiveness is something that works, it plays into this. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In your mind, whether we realize it or not, our mind is being transformed. Our mind is certainly being transformed by the world. Every moment you turn the television on and listen and watch some of the garbage that comes across the airwaves, your mind in one way or another is being transformed to accept some of the stuff that's happening out there in the world. It's so easy to get caught up in political campaigns. It's so easy to get caught up in all kinds of different movements. But Paul is asking the question, is your mind being transformed by the Spirit? If you notice the verse before, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, what does it say? I better turn to it before I get it wrong here. And it's a beautiful passage of Scripture, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and it's something we all need to read and hear. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, because God has been merciful to you, and in light of that, and in view of that, he says, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, when he talks about bodies, the Greek term here, you know, calls for not just bodies, but mind and spirit. Present yourself, so it's probably be a better translation. Present yourself as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then he goes on to say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God's will is always perfect. God's will is always pleasing. God's will is always for your best interests. And always God has you at the center of his mind and his heart when he's thinking about you. And when he's thinking about you walking in his will. And so he talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he also tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God. You can't renew your mind if you're still spending all your time reliving junk from your past. And that's what it is. It's junk. Absolute garbage from the past. You cannot be renewed. You cannot have victory. You cannot have joy. You cannot walk in the light of the Spirit of God as long as that junk is still cluttering up and still causing problems in terms of your relationship with God. So, this morning, maybe I've been all over the place a little bit. But as I bring this series to a conclusion, I think this is really crucial. This is very important for us. That we come to terms about, you know, this whole area of forgiveness. That we recognize that God is a forgiving God. That He desires to forgive us. He desires that we have a relationship with Him that's holy, that's awesome, that's amazing. He desires that we have a relationship with one another within the body of Christ, especially. That we be loving and forgiving and peaceful and harmonious. That we take on the mind of Christ when it comes to dealing with one another. When we think about our relationship to one another, we think about how Jesus related to His disciples and how He related to even people around Him. Sure, there were times Jesus even got mad. And it's okay to get mad. It's okay to get angry. And we're human beings. There are some, you know, we'll never, ever be able to shake off the human characteristics that we carry with us from day to day. But we can have the mind of Christ. We can take the mind of Christ. We can allow the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, to flow in us and through us. And so my prayer is that in the days ahead, that we would, as a church body here, as you prepare for the future, whatever the future holds, and God knows what that future is, that we would always come to terms with this whole area of forgiveness. And learn that forgiveness is one of the greatest, absolute greatest things that we can ever experience individually and together and with God. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, this morning we thank You for Your word once again. And we just ask, Lord, that You would teach us what it means to be forgiving one toward the other. And Lord, we just celebrate, O God, around Your table this morning, the fact that You are a God who's taken the initiative to forgive us through Your Son. O God, nothing that we could ever say or nothing we could ever do would ever pay You back for what You've done for us. But we love You, Lord, today because You first loved us. But Lord, we need to learn to live with one another while we're here on this earth. You've placed us here for a purpose, for a reason. And we need to be forgiving. We need to be loving. And we also need to forgive one and forgive ourselves, Lord. Help us to stop beating up on ourselves. Help us, Lord, to look to You and find strength in moments of weakness. And so we thank You for what You're going to do. And now as we come around Your table this morning, remind us of the beauty and the aroma of Your presence. Remind us over and over again, Lord, of Your love for us and the joy that we have in serving You. And we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to ask the ushers this morning.